Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Obviously, over the past few months, vaccine mandates have become a very hot topic in across the world, really, but especially in the United States of America. People feel very differently about it, depending on who you ask. Some people think, hey, you know, this is do your part. Take one for the team. It's not about you. It's about me. And then other people are meeting up to protest Kyrie Irving being kicked off his team. And they were storming, I think it was the Barclays Center, Jared, and they were storming it. And so the funny thing was, is that some liberal reporters were trying to spin this like, it's another insurrection. It's another J6. And then they realized a lot of the protesters had on Black Lives Matter t-shirts. And suddenly the narrative became harder to push. But where I want to start is because we're going to go through kind of two different mindsets. And, you know, Team Rand Paul or Team Ron DeSantis, or you could be Team Rochelle Walensky. And I like my fighters, you know, and this debate over whether or not you should be forcing people to do something they don't want to do, I like the people at the forefront of this fight. I feel very confident. To a battle of wits, they come armed, is what I would say. So let's start with a cut here from Ron DeSantis. He has been, much to the chagrin of Democrats everywhere, he has been incredibly pro-freedom in Florida. And he gets so much grief for it. That's a part of this that really blows my mind, is that when you ask people, these liberals, why they hate Ron DeSantis so much, and a lot of them do, it's because he's letting people make their own choices. I've never heard of anything so insane in my life. But you really do understand when you look into that mindset, that is the difference between left and right. The left does think the government should play a huge part in your day-to-day life, in your day-to-day decisions. They know best. They should be your healthcare proxies. You should do what you're told. And Ron DeSantis does not do that. In fact, he got a lot of grief for implementing an executive order that basically said that kids could not be forced to wear masks by schools. You know, school boards and teachers could not make the decision. The parents had to make the decision. And the Biden White House tried to spin this to say that he was trying to play politics by taking the politics out of it, by saying, no, there's no politics involved. The parents can decide. There's nothing political about that. Parents can decide for their kids if they should be wearing masks for 8 hours a day inside. It's pretty clear what he was standing for there. And this is what he had to say about the injections. Cut 9, please, Jared.
Right, what Biden's doing is unconstitutional. He does not have the authority to do this. But what it will do on a practical level, in addition to being unconstitutional, in addition to be taking away people's personal choices, is it will wreak havoc in the economy. Because even if a small percentage of these folks end up losing their jobs or voluntarily walking away, you're going to have huge disruptions in medical, in logistics, in law enforcement. And so in Florida, our policy is very clear. We're going to have a special session and we're going to say nobody should lose their job based off these injections.
And the craziest part of this whole thing is just how quickly this has turned from the very people we were celebrating, the first responders. I wrote a piece about this a while ago. They went from heroes to zeros. Feels like just yesterday they were on all the commercials for like Apple and, you know, Dove shampoo, celebrating our healthcare workers, celebrating our first responders. And now they're getting judged so harshly, you'd think they were all credulous boomer rubes. Now, Ron DeSantis went on to talk about, and this is something Howie mentioned last week, which is some of these states are going to take the police officers that are being laid off from their jobs because they refuse to get vaccinated, they're going to take them in. And I love this concept because you're giving people an option, and there's nothing the left hates more than giving people options. Cut 10.
We're actually actively working to recruit out-of-state law enforcement because we do have needs in our police and our sheriff's departments. So in the next legislative session, I'm going to hopefully sign legislation that gives a $5,000 bonus to any out-of-state law enforcement that relocates in Florida. So NYPD, Minneapolis, Seattle, if you're not being treated well, we'll treat you better here. You can fill important needs for us, and we'll compensate you as a result.
So let me get this straight. On Friday, I read a story about how Florida might save Christmas because of all those cargo ships that are docked in both coasts, New York and LA, or New York and California, I should say. There's issues that there's so many cargo ships there. It's a terrible problem. Pete Buttigieg, I believe, is still on paternity leave. Maybe he's back. I don't know. But this is a big issue. And I read a story that Florida is welcoming those ships. They're saying, you know, we have plenty of ports open. Come, we'll take the stuff off. We'll help you. They probably don't have, I'm just guessing. Maybe I'm assuming, which is never a good thing to do. But I'm going to assume that Florida doesn't have all of these rules about how green the trucks have to be in order to remove product from the cargo ships. And that could be a little helpful, maybe. So between that and this, where they're going to take in all of these officers or workers who have been laid off by authoritarian blue government. And this is why Florida's so bad, because they're going to save Christmas and they're going to help people who got laid off. Huh. Interesting. I didn't see it that way. But where it gets really wild is Rochelle Walensky. And I think we got to play a Rochelle, Jared, because we haven't played one in quite some time. Rochelle. She's the head of the CDC. For those of you who don't know her, I actually saw her in a Bloomingdale's a couple weeks ago. And I did not say anything. I wasn't like the Kristen Sinema protesters. I didn't follow her around the store. But she was on with Chris Wallace. Now, everyone knows that Chris Wallace is a bit of a rhino. We all figured that out. If we didn't already know it, we were confirmed during the last election. And just to doubly confirm it, because why not? You'd rather be safe than sorry. Let's hear, before we play his cuts with Rochelle, let's hear a little flashback of him earlier in the week where he was talking about Jen Psaki cut 13.
Since I was working in the press corps when Sam Donaldson is there, that's a very grudging compliment on my part. And Jen Psaki, I think, is one of the best press secretaries ever.
Ugh.
That is false.
Anyway, so that guy, Chris Wallace, or you know, as Joe Biden likes to call him, because they're on a friendlier level. You know, he knows Chris Wallace intimately, like he knows so many presidents intimately. He calls him Chuck. So I'm going to call him Chuck. Chuck has an interview with Rochelle. And Rochelle has a plan because they discuss how these mandates are really going to cause, like Ron DeSantis pointed out, a problem for companies. I mean, you lose some people. Jared, we sometimes bring in a new person to our company. There is an adjustment period where you do things a lot faster and then you have to show someone else how to do it. And there's a bit of some things fall through the cracks. When you're talking hospitals and there's nurses who have been there for years and then all of a sudden they're being replaced by someone from the National Guard, no disrespect to anyone in the National Guard, but there are certain things you learn in a company or a hospital or an organization over time that you can only get from experience. And none of these people that are being brought in this urgent hurry are going to have that experience. And so Rochelle is asked about this by Chris Wallace. Let's first hear the question, cut 11.
As you know, there are cases where police officers or health workers or pilots are walking off the job rather than get the vaccine. Are you still full speed ahead on mandates for essential workers to get vaccinated?
Now, what Rochelle says, and I want to skip this whole part because she just, you know, gives off the company line, the talking points, the propaganda. She says the vaccines work and, you know, it's really dangerous. And the more we do these mandates, the more people get vaccinated. They keep talking about that. Like, it's so amazing. Well, since we started issuing these mandates, a lot more people have been getting vaccinated. Well, yeah, they had to choose between either getting it or losing their paycheck or feeding their family. So yeah, it makes sense. It's working. Our question is it the right thing to do? Not. There's a lot of things that would work if you did them. It doesn't mean they're right. Now, when she gets into a real sticky wicket is when she goes into how she's going to deal with the credulous, boomer, bitter, clinging deplorables who are not getting vaccinated. Cut 12, please.
It is very important to get these people vaccinated. There is a plan, should these people not want to be vaccinated, towards education and counseling to get people the information they need.
Oh.
Did she mean to say re-education?
That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. She keeps saying these.
Go to that classroom over there behind the barbed wire.
She keeps saying these people, like we're second-class citizens. Can I hear that again? It's these people that gets me.
It is very important to get these people vaccinated. There is a plan, should these people not want to be vaccinated, towards education and counseling to get people the information they need.
I thought that when it was written out, that quote, because I had Matt pull this for me. So when I saw it written out, I was like, oh, we should get this. And I really thought to myself, it won't sound as bad when she's saying it. It actually sounds worse. That is a very scary quote. If you don't want to get the vaccine, we're going to educate and counsel you until what, you're brainwashed, until you decide, or you're just beaten down and you decide to get it. The power trip.
You're starting to sound like one of those people, Grace.
I think I am these people. I think I'm these people. I got the vaccine, but I identify with these people she's talking about because it feels like she's talking about Trump supporters. As we know, Trump supporters are the only group of people in the United States that are refusing the vaccine.
Wow, 2/3 of the nation are Trump supporters. That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. It's insane that he didn't win the election, right? But like I always say, Joe Biden just had that charisma. You know, he had that X factor that we just couldn't put our finger on.
I like Legos.
Yes.
I like Legos.
Who doesn't, really? Now more than ever, there are so many reasons to be a grateful nation. And in large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and freedoms. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 18th. This is really one of the coolest, most meaningful things you can do around Christmas time. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve and their families, and you have the opportunity to teach younger generations the value of their freedoms. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America, it's just $15, sponsors a fresh handmade balsam fir wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The veteran's wreath has become a gift of America's respect. The circular wreath made with 10 balsam bouquets is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed grounds at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to ceremonies at close to 3,000 participating locations across the country and overseas. Please sponsor a veteran's wreath today and show your appreciation for our veterans. Go to wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org. One more time, wreathsacrossamerica.org. Please donate now. We'll be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. When we get back after the break, I want to talk about Joe Biden's wall, if you can believe that. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and I can.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm getting a lot of heat on Twitter and on the text machine about telling that the big breaking news story about Dr. Fauci and the Beagles. And if you were, you know, I'm sorry people were offended by it. I understand that it's a terrible story, but it is news. And it's actually important that people know who Dr. Fauci is. And I'm looking on Twitter and there's a lot of people who are saying things like, oh, I thought Dr. Fauci was really nice, but if this Beagle thing is true, then he's really terrible. yeah, they're a little late to the game, but better late than never. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. That's Follinsby Inn, spelled F-O-L-L-A-N-S-B-E-E. Go to FollinsbyInn.com. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will the Beagle outrage finally end Fauci's media parade?
Yes. I'm hopeful. I'm an optimist.
45% say yes.
Oh, no.
55% believe, nope, he's still going to be around.
Yeah, I get that. I get it. But I'd like to look at the glass half full. All right, now, this is a new segment that we just implemented last week, but I think it's really fun, and I have a very good excuse to use this again. It is time for a trip down memory lane.
I thought I had forgot the past. Now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane.
All right, now this is Joe Biden in 2016. This is a flashback. Cut 15, please, Jared.
If we build walls and disrespect our neighbors, we'll quickly see all this progress evaporated, replaced by a return of anti-Americanism, a coercive rift throughout our hemisphere.
That was Biden years ago when he was sharp as a tack. Now, let's also have Biden in August of 2020. This is cut 16.
There will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration.
So you could imagine how surprised I was when on Friday a story came out that the Department of Homeland Security is paying over $455,000 to build security fencing around Biden's beach home. Security fencing. You know what that makes me think of right away? The Capitol. The security fencing they put around the Capitol. I guess maybe security fencing sounds nicer than a wall, but that is what it amounts to. The Department of Homeland Security is building a security fence around President Biden's Rehoboth, Delaware home. This is from the New York Post. The southern border with Mexico is seeing the highest level of illegal border crossings in 35 years, but the Department of Homeland Security has found one access point it can shore up. Doling out $455,000 to a Delaware construction company for a fence around President Biden's summer White House. For security reasons, the Secret Service declined to discuss their protective means and methods. Oh, of course, we wouldn't want to jeopardize the investigation.
So he basically is giving money to a union that helped get him elected in Delaware, is what this kind of sounds like to me.
Oh, you think it's like one of those unions he brought hoagies to without his mask on?
Absolutely, I think this.
Well, it is pretty amazing that this stuff happens all the time. I remember specifically Mark Zuckerberg built a wall, I think, in his Hawaii home. And I saw Dan Bongino on Fox this weekend, and he was saying, you know, walls work. Like, if you are admitting that walls work by building a wall, then what's your argument against the wall? You really don't have one. I mean, all of these liberal elites, they have private security. They have massive walls. And then when we have the highest immigration rate in 97 years, they suddenly get very skeptical of walls. Suddenly walls divide us. Walls don't protect us. Wait, but it protects your home in Beverly Hills or your home in the Hamptons. Why can't it protect the country? What's the difference? Is your home more important than the border? And that's a true that's a fact, as Joe Biden would say. These are facts. The $1.66 million illegal crossings that Border Patrol thwarted nationwide over the past 12 months marks a near century high. So there has been talk about the numbers, and Jen Psaki and Joe Biden always say, well, this has been a growing problem, you know, and this is, oh, and you know, when it's hot out, they say, well, this is what happens. It's hot out. People always come over faster when it's hot out, or more people come over. But now we have the actual number, and it's the highest level in 97 years. Joe Biden did want to change history, you know, and he wanted to be a transformative president. And I think we can officially say mission accomplished on so many fronts. Everything has changed. So many records are being broken. Not the right kind of records, but hey, you'll take what you can get, right? Lower your expectations, damn it. 844-500-4242. We will be back. I want to play some of these cuts from Obama, and I'll take your calls. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have a lot of sound to get to. Obama is out there stumping on the campaign trail for Terry McAuliffe, which, if you didn't know how bad things were, that is a pretty good sign that someone's desperado, and his name is Terry McAuliffe. But Obama really did remind everybody when he went out there just how much gaslighting the man can do. All of his comments were really despicable, and it was a throwback to the Obama days, which a lot of this administration has been so far. This presidency has been a big throwback to the Obama years. Let's first, though, go to Zebra. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Zebra.
Yeah, Grace, thanks for taking my call. Hey, keep on putting out the stuff on the Beagles. If there's one thing Americans hate is dog abusers. And you can ask Michael Vick in his jail term about that. But what I want to know is who's asking for the quote or reaction from the Animal Rescue League, ASPCA? How about PETA? How have they commented yet? Has anyone asked them? Or are they where's their crickets?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's a great point. And this reminds me of any time something happens with people's freedoms and how he says, where's the ACLU? And we all kind of have to say, well, they don't really comment on these things now. You know, unless it's a Democrat in danger, they're not going to comment. And you're right. It's really pathetic that no one has spoken out because it's horrible what happened to these dogs. And, you know, Michael Vick is a great example. That set the world ablaze. Everybody was talking about that. Everybody was rightly outraged. And it seems like this is picking up the same amount of steam because last I checked, it was number six on Twitter. And I know I probably sound like a millennial. It was number six on Twitter. So that means it's going to change the world. No, there is a method to the madness. And when I say that, I mean Jack Dorsey or who's ever in charge of the censorship at Twitter. They tend not to let things trend for too long that look bad for Democrats. However, I think if so many people are tweeting about something, it kind of overrides the system. This is my theory. And in this case, there's so many people tweeting about Dr. Fauci lied, Beagles died, that it's just becoming a massive story. And I appreciate the call, Zebra. All right, so now I want to read a little piece here. And I've kind of started to do this every week. I have a writer at Red State who I really like, Nick Arema. And what she does is she writes these things and then she just puts in the clips that she's talking about and she kind of sets it up and gives you the context of it. So she's writing about Obama, who is stumping for Terry McAuliffe. And she says, how much trouble is Terry McAuliffe in with his race for governor in Virginia? When they have to pull Barack Obama off the bench, you know they must be in trouble. McAuliffe is neck and neck with Republican Glenn Youngkin, according to the polls. Obama's new remarks are typically divisive, and they remind me of why I dislike him and why I'm glad he's no longer president. Now, let's play this first one. Cut two, please, Jared.
We don't have time to be wasting on these phony, trumped-up culture wars, this fake outrage that the right-wing media peddles to juice their ratings, and the fact that he's willing to go along with it. Instead of talking about serious problems that actually affect serious people, that's a shame. That's not what this election's about. That's not what you need, Virginia. Instead of forcing our communities to cut back at a time when we're just starting to recover, we should be doing more to support people who are educating our kids and keeping our neighborhoods safe.
This reminds me of, I was only part of the Howie Carr Radio Network for a short amount of time while Obama was president, but I remember having to pull audio from him, and it's painful. The long, gratuitous pauses that he takes, the ego on this guy knows no bounds. But Nick Arema writes, he then accused Republicans of creating fake outrage. That was a clip we just heard. This from the guy whose party's bread and butter is pitching outrage and pimping identity politics. That's not the problem. Oh, no, not to Obama. The response to try and stop it is the problem. And then he says, calling out Terry McAuliffe for saying that parents shouldn't be in charge of their kids' education isn't phony outrage. It's justifiable outrage and a losing issue for Democrats. And that's why McAuliffe's numbers have been in such a free fall since he made those statements. The hilarious part about Obama's comment is that, oh, Glenn Youngkin isn't talking about what people really care about. Well, actually, it would seem that since your guy, Tear Bear, is doing so badly, then maybe he is. Glenn Youngkin is hitting the things people care about. And that was the real core issue that Democrats found with critical race theory, was that it did mobilize people. You know, despite Joy Reid mocking it, despite everyone saying, oh, you don't even understand what it is. It's a legal theory. You don't understand the tenets of critical race theory. And yet, here we are. People got up. People got out. People got passionate. So the idea that this is all fake is just gaslighting people, which is what led us to this position in the first place. That's why everyone is so passionate to not vote for Terry McAuliffe. It's because he's not standing up for them on the issues they care about. In fact, he's doing the same thing Obama's doing. He's pretending it's all this big mirage. Telling people that what they're seeing is not happening does not play well with Americans. It doesn't play well with anyone, but especially now. And they've done it with critical race theory, and they're doing it with inflation. They're trying to tell you that what you're seeing at the grocery store isn't what's really happening. And that ticks people off. Because no one likes to feel crazy. No one likes to feel like Mugatu, like they're taking crazy pills.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
All right, let's play the next one. And again, Nick Arema at Red State breaks all of these down. I would like to play cut three, please, Jared.
Why is it Republicans don't want you to vote? What is it that they're so afraid of? I would assume, Terry, if they think they've got better ideas, why don't they just go make the case? Tell us your ideas. Tell us why you think they're going to be better. Tell us how it's going to help that man get a job, or help that young person go to college, or help that person get a trade. Hey, just explain it. And if you've got good ideas, people will flock to your ideas, but that's not what they try to do. Instead, you're trying to rig elections. Because the truth is, people disagree with your ideas.
I have so many things to say about this. One, if your ideas are so great, if you and Hillary and Biden and Jen Psaki and John Kerry and Al Gore and AOC, if all your ideas are so great, why are you all so obsessed with censoring ideas you disagree with? That's number one. If you have such great ideas, why did Terry McAuliffe, who's running for governor in Virginia, have to bring out Barack Obama to campaign for him if his ideas are so great? And number two, suddenly saying elections are rigged, that's okay again. But again, I'm going to read Nick Arema's piece on this because she just runs down the whole list. How many lies or wrong ideas are there in that short rant we just heard? Republicans want people to vote. They don't want people fraudulently voting. It isn't the role of the government to help a young person go to college or a man get a job. That was a part of his thing. If you're going to help a young, and I hate how he does this like comedian voice, like he's up on stage, you know, delivering a monologue or something, like an opening monologue at SNL. It's really phony.
It's the same thing Kamala does when she speaks in public. She emulates that. It's that same.
Like, I'm telling a joke.
I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to say it, but I'm not.
Yeah,
you know, that type of.
It's a real confidence in that. Like, they talk like they're these comedians at a nightclub, and they're saying the most ridiculous things, these politicians. So Nick Arema writes, it isn't the role of the government to help a young person go to college or get a man a job. It's to get out of the way so that the person is able to get their own job and not be dependent on the government. Republican candidate Glenn Youngkin is explaining Republican ideas, which is why he's doing well and why you Democrats are so afraid that you have to pull in Barack Obama. Meanwhile, it's the Democrats who are trying to take over elections with their H.R. 1 bill. I almost forgot about that. Terrible. Bill. essentially trying to federalize aspects of elections so that individual states and localities don't have the freedom to decide for themselves what they want their procedures to be. Talk about being afraid. What are you Democrats afraid of with all of that? Why are they so afraid of things like election security and voter ID? Meanwhile, here's Obama accusing people of rigging elections. I thought the very notion of that was an attack on democracy or an incitement to insurrection. So where are the left or the media to attack what he's saying? But Obama was always accusing others of things of which he or Democrats are guilty. Let's play this last one here. Cut four.
You can't run ads telling me you're a regular old hoops playing, dishwashing, fleece wearing guy, but quietly cultivate support from those who seek to tear down our democracy.
The vagueness of these accusations. It's like, could we get a citation? That's what we always say during hate mail. Could we get a fact check? Could we get something that you're referring to besides just these empty, terrible accusations you're throwing out? And by the way, now I remember, Jared, why I haven't heard of the HR 1 bill in so long. And you brought this up today. Something funny happened with Georgia, because there was a big hoopla back in the day, and I'm old enough to remember it, about Georgia. Could you explain that, Jared, to us? Because you're kind of the sports guy here. It was something to do with the All-Star game, and Georgia was, you know, too racist and too terrible. And in order, I believe, to make a point about that, Biden and other liberals decided we should boycott the All-Star game, take out all that revenue from Georgia, and it kind of backfired.
Yeah, just a little bit in the fact that now the Atlanta Braves are in the World Series and they're playing in Fulton County, Atlanta, and they are going to have a minimum of three basic All-Star Game revenue generating events in the World Series.
No! No! Say it's not so, Jared!
And it gets better because they are playing the Houston Astros.
Oh, from the humanity!
That red bastion of gun craziness and no abortion having rootin' tootin' Texas. So, I'm not going to lie. I am cackling like Kamala Harris at the fact that you've got the heartbeat bill versus Jim Crow 2.0 in the World Series. And I honestly hope they both win. I hope they both tie and everybody has fun.
Jim Eagle on Eagle's wings. There's so much going on.
That's his favorite poem.
You know what, Jared? I might tune into that. I might start digging the MLB again after all this.
And I'm pretty sure the games are on Fox Network.
Well, I'm happy, though, for the people that live there, because at least they'll get some of that money back that they lost, a little bit of revenue that they lost thanks to Joe Mr. Unity Biden.
That's Stacey Abrams throwing out the first pitch in game three. Just a hunch.
You think Dr. Fauci will come back and try it? Who knows? He had such a knack for it. Let's go to Ralph. You've been waiting on the line for a while. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hello.
Hi, what's going on?
Oh, I'm on. Okay. I just noticed, I was listening to Jeff Cooner this morning. He mentioned about these beagles that were being tested out in Tunisia. And I said to myself, Gandhi once said that you can always judge a society by the way it treats its animals. I'm not a pacifist, but anyways, I said to myself, beagles, funny you should mention it, because U.S. Customs Service uses beagles to sniff around packages to check for everything from Cuban cigars to fruits, vegetables, plants, marijuana, drugs, whatever. And he says, I kind of wonder if they think maybe they want to see how beagles stand up to a certain type of virus or disease. And,
I didn't think of that, Ralph. But go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, that's a thing about it. And then I said, I wonder when they're going to start cleaning up Methadone Mile. I says, I heard that Tuesday at 10 a.m. they're going to send down some people from the Massachusetts National Guard to start cleaning up the debris.
Yeah, the Herald's been writing a lot of stuff on Methadone Mile over the past few weeks. So we'll keep you posted on that. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. This beagle story, because people are right. I mean, That's a quote from Gandhi about you judge a society by how they treat their animals. But I've also heard it from Nelson Mandela, a quote from him where, and I remember it because Simone Biles referenced it when she was testifying about the FBI's mishandling of the Larry Nassar case. And she gave a quote from Nelson Mandela that said something like, you can really tell a society based off how they treat their children. And both are very true. So it will be something to see if Dr. Fauci has to answer for some of this. I don't know. We will keep you all posted. 844-500-4242. Wait on the line. I see you on the line. We will get to all your calls after the break. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier is one of the Eden Pure's best-selling products. And now Eden Pure is extending their special Thunderstorm 3-pack offer through the end of October. That is right. One user writes, I'm very surprised at how well the small unit works. I noticed a difference almost immediately. I purchased the 3-pack and I'm happy I did. You'll always be happy if you purchase the 3-pack because then you can have one in your kitchen, which is where I like it, Jared. I cook eggs in the morning. Will's not crazy about the smell of eggs, so I turn that on and you can't even smell them after. I know you use it in your car and you also use it in your basement.
Yes, I have. Anybody who's got a basement has that basement smell. But I also have comic books down in the basement, so it gets that sort of old musty library smell at times, and I don't want to be sitting there reading comic books in that smell. So I just plug in the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, turn it on, and within minutes it starts sending out those ions, which ionizes the air and creates that super oxygen, which gets rid of the odor, it gets rid of pollutants, allergens, you know, nasty stuff that you don't want to be breathing.
Yeah, and the best part is you don't have to replace any air filters. It's a very small product, so it saves you time and money. And some of these products that you'll find in other places, they're big and bulky and they're really expensive. So this is a great deal. You'll get three units for under $200 and save $200. Now, here is the big question. Where do I get it? Well, you go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and use code word GRACE3. This offer ends October 31st on Halloween. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
I'm reading from Fox News now. It says vaccine mandates may worsen supply chain crisis. I doubt that. With Mayor Pete on the case, I think things are looking up, everybody. Becky from Virginia, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Becky.
Hi, Grace. I'm so happy to talk to you again.
Oh.
I wanted to comment about the Virginia governor's election upcoming on November 2nd, Vote Youngkin. And apparently Obama was in town on Saturday, and there were maybe two or 300 people there. But Youngkin started a bus tour here in the Richmond, Virginia area, and he had thousands and thousands of very, very enthusiastic people. And I just hope and pray that that Glenn Youngkin wins the governor's seat and carries his whole ticket, because Virginia cannot stand four more years of four more years of McAuliffe, and the last 4 years with that idiot Northam has just been atrocious. So
yeah, you guys have had your fair share of political pain, Becky. I do not doubt that. I appreciate the call and the update. It's really cool to hear from someone from Virginia about what's actually going on there. But I thought Barack Obama's comments really just revealed exactly how afraid and desperate the Democrats are. And I hate to break this to everyone, but it's not just Virginia they should be worried about. I'm thinking red wave, if you catch my drift. All right, when we get back, I have an awesome piece to read to you about why Jen Psaki hates you. Don't go anywhere.